I don't really know much about suffering, but I did have a bad week a month or so ago. When something bad happens, I often desperately try to make sense of it, analyze and dissect it, hoping to be better prepared for the next bad week to come. That week I was coming down with a cold, I'd had a difficult conversation with someone I care about, and then I got a text message from a friend telling me that there was a blog online talking about Seaforth, and I guess by extension, me too. Now, our church wasn't explicitly named. The blog writer just talked about a Baptist church on the Northern Beaches, which supported same-sex marriage. But most people knew who he was talking about. He accused us of not being biblical, obsessing over sexuality and making a statement on our website almost as a marketing strategy to attract people. A sugar hit that would not last, he reassured his readers. It's a very surreal experience to have someone talking about you but not know you and then have hundreds of comments following this post. Some people defended me and our community, particularly if they knew us personally. Others concluded I was leading people astray, a false teacher who'd been given too much of a platform in the past. I became obsessed with reading these comments. At the end of the week, the blogger posted a second time, implying that it had taken a toll on him. Seeing all these comments, it was hard speaking the truth and standing up for what is right. Though he later clarified and said he was kind of joking, and he reassured everyone he was more than okay. People were reaching out to support him. Others were reaching out to me asking, "Are you okay?" All I kept thinking, though, was there are just so many different comments and reactions out there. How do you make sense of all these different perspectives? Well, maybe it begins by acknowledging that there are multiple ways we can make sense of what is happening around us. Somehow, I think we need to hold any explanations we come to loosely, gently even, including how we read the Bible. In Isaiah 50, we come across once again Isaiah desperately trying to make sense of what has happened to Judah. Why are the people in exile? He wants to clear God of any sense of wrongdoing. And then the servant figure appears again, but this time the description of him is a lot darker, though it starts off like what we might expect. Verse 4. "The sovereign Yahweh has given me his words of wisdom, so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. The sovereign Yahweh has spoken to me, and I've listened. I've not rebelled or turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting." There are multiple ways we can understand this passage and what it has to say to us about suffering. We can say sometimes, according to Isaiah 50, we will suffer and it's just plain wrong, unjust even. Here is the servant doing what is right, committed to God. God is giving this servant wisdom, which the servant is sharing with the community. And yet this is leading to the servant suffering. People are beating him up, spitting on him, full of disdain towards him. The servant makes sense of this by embracing suffering as a price you sometimes have to pay when you stand up for what is right. Now the question is, who is attacking him? Is it the Babylonians? They are the natural enemies of the Judahites. Are they persecuting this minority in their midst for worshipping Yahweh? Well, I'm sure there is some discrimination going on for the whole Judahite community. Suffering is part of the experience of exile. But it seems in this instance that the attack is not coming primarily from outside, but rather from inside this community of exiles. The community is not united. They haven't been in a long time. There are multiple perspectives and a whole range of questions. Why this has happened? How do we live in exile? What is the way forward? Some want to assimilate. Some want to practice other faiths. Some are tired of suffering and say no more. And here is this person in their midst, singularly focused on Yahweh, refusing to compromise, perhaps saying uncomfortable truths that are putting others out. So the community turns against him. The servant makes sense of this by trusting that God is with him and what he is doing is right. Others might have lost sight of God, but he has not. This conviction gives him the strength to endure. Isaiah 50 verse 7. Because the sovereign Yahweh helps me, I'll not be disgraced. Therefore, I've set my face like a stone, determined to do his will. And I know that I'll be not put to shame. He who gives me justice is near. Who would dare to bring charges against me now? Where are my accusers? Let them appear. See, the sovereign Yahweh is on my side. Who will declare me guilty? All my enemies will be destroyed like old clothes that have been eaten by moths. This is a powerful perspective to hold. I am an innocent victim here. I am right. I am pursuing what is right and suffering because of it. Believing this can give you the strength to keep going. Knowing you are not alone and God will sustain you and even vindicate you is incredible. This suffering doesn't come out of nowhere. It makes sense, and that sense can help you continue. I'm sure the blogger who wrote about me believes they're right and defending the Christian truth, which feels under threat from many directions. We might say we are doing what is right, even if others reject us. There are some amazing figures in history who I admire because they've been prepared to do what is right, often on behalf of others, even though it has caused them pain. They prepare for the backlash. This is often how change happens, isn't it? Through their suffering comes less suffering for the wider community. I wonder if you can think of examples of people who've done the right thing and suffered because of it. Reading this description in Isaiah, I am sure, has prompted many of you to think of Jesus, and you wouldn't be alone in doing this. Lots of New Testament writers draw on the suffering servant in connection to Jesus. This is another way we read Isaiah 50, helping us understand Jesus and the pain he went through. Jesus, like the servant, has a deep trust in God, a trust that allows him to go against the grain in his own community and challenge them. Jesus is known for doing the right thing, even when it's hard. And he talks a lot about suffering, about the suffering he's going to face, speaking openly about his death, and then he sets out resolute, Luke says, like his face is set like a stone, ready for this painful death. Matthew records for us when Jesus is finally arrested in the middle of the night and brought before the Sanhedrin, before the religious and community leaders. This happens. Then they began to spit on Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. And some slapped him, jeering, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah, who hit you that time?" His community turns violently against him. But Jesus believes God is on his side and will vindicate him. This is not easy for Jesus. There are glimpses when we see him struggle, praying to God for another way. But Jesus believes this is necessary. He describes himself as someone who has come to serve. Through his death will come liberation to others. This is good news. But sometimes we can understand this passage and what it has to say to us about suffering, and it becomes bad news. Sometimes we can hear in Isaiah 50 this perspective: you should suffer. Verse 6, I offered my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. We could hear that the right response when someone is threatening you is to allow it. Offer them your back. Don't hide or flinch or try and escape. Don't resist, but endure it. There's a danger when we come to passages like Isaiah 50 and admire this person who not only serves, giving all they have to their community and to God, completely obedient to the point of pain, that the message we can hear is that we must do this too. We must give until we suffer. Suffering and service goes hand in hand, right? God is calling us to take up every form of suffering that comes our way without any struggle. Don't even defend yourself. This is a very powerful, but very harmful perspective to have. Such a perspective is what can lead people to staying in abusive relationships. Such a perspective is what can lead to toxic communities forming where abuse is denied or bullies are allowed to reign unchecked. Even without the extremes of abuse, serving others takes a toll on us, and we need to recognize that and give ourselves permission to set things like boundaries. It's okay to rest and look after yourselves. It's okay to resist and speak up when people are saying incorrect things about you. It's okay to remove yourself from a community if it's causing too much pain. It's okay to defend yourself. It's okay to be unsure when to defend and when to let things slide. Kate Legge writes about the intricacies of family dynamics, and I love her honesty. She speaks about her brother whom she loves, a brother who has always seemed to struggle through life. He's known in their family as Jesus of Woy Woy. One moment, he's extremely kind, giving away everything he has, even when he himself has very little and often sleeps rough. The next moment, in a fury, he'll mutter conspiracy theories and turn on those trying to care for him. For decades, Kate has been his protector. Even when he tried to stab her, it didn't matter, though her family did end up moving him into an institution for specialized care at one point. Now Kate in her 60s says, honestly, it's just hard. There are multiple perspectives once more at play. It's hard for him. It's hard for her trying to serve him. This is a quote from her. There are bleak days when my brother suffocates me. Caring for others is hard. Kindness deserts us. Wellsprings of love run dry. An older female friend of mine suggested the other day that perhaps the long-term solution to supporting my brother is to have him live with me. She's right, of course. I have a room in my house. Do I have enough room in my heart? Isaiah 50 is not giving us the answer for every hard situation we will find ourselves in. We will need to discern and sometimes make hard choices. Here's a question for you to ponder. Do you ever feel guilty for not serving, for not giving enough? How can we serve in life-giving ways for all? Last this morning, we can recognize that we are not always the victim. Sometimes we are the one inflicting the pain. Let's see this again, verse 6. I offered my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. What if we read Isaiah 50 and see ourselves as the ones who are turning on the servant, beating him up, pulling on his beard, contributing to his suffering? This is a much more uncomfortable position to occupy, but when we look around, we can see it's actually fairly common to be part of divided communities and families. Sometimes we have a bad week because we are hurt. Sometimes we have a bad week because we hurt someone. Sometimes both things are true at the same time. Suffering can stretch our relationships, putting them under pressure. It can bring out the worst in us. There has to be space for us to examine, are we the ones doing harm? There's a quote from Howard. Within the faith community, there exists a permanent enticement to intolerance, prejudice, and racism, which disguises itself as a defense of the true faith. Considering the presence of verbal and physical violence in our world, it is evident that these temptations have not always been successfully resisted. Against such a backdrop, Christians need to consider the oppressors in the above text from Isaiah and ask the searching question, is it I? I suspect for most of us, it's never so black and white. We are often both suffering and hurting someone else, giving words of wisdom and words of folly, trusting in God and not trusting in God. However we make sense of things going wrong, let's hold it gently. If you find yourself having a bad week and nothing seems to make sense, or it just seems like one thing after the other is going wrong and you're asking why? Why is this happening? And you're desperately trying to make sense. You should know you might not always get the answer you want. We might not get any answer at all. Well, there might be a multitude of answers. How do we make sense of all these perspectives? We need wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to discern what is the right response for the situation we find ourselves in. Sometimes talking to others can help widen our perspectives. Talking to God definitely helps too. We need to seek this loosely, gently, prepared to be corrected, prepared to change. Isaiah ends the servant song calling for people to trust. Trust in God and trust your questions and doubts and pain to God. ask God for discernment, and light will slowly break into the darkness.